Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Despite a great deal of attention in recent years to the underrepresentation of African Americans in math and science fields, these disparities persist. For example, in the past few years, African Americans earning doctorates in mathematics were less than 1% of all doctorates awarded in that field. However, the Department of Mathematics at ISU has been making efforts to buck this trend and to recruit African American grad students to their doctoral program, and they've been doing this with great success. I had the opportunity this past week to speak with Dr. Shanice Walker. Dr. Walker obtained her Ph.D. in mathematics from ISU this past spring. She is now an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. Dr. Walker is the first African-American student to obtain a Ph.D. in mathematics from ISU. How did you become interested in mathematics?
My first initial interest in mathematics happened somewhere along the eighth grade. I remember taking eighth grade, just regular math, and I only took it for a few weeks, and my teacher decided to put me in the advanced algebra class, which I didn't take the pre-algebra class, but I just jumped right into the advanced algebra class. And from there, throughout high school, we had to choose a focus, and I was in a part of the magnet program, and we had to choose a focus, and I studied mathematics for my focus, as well as I studied some architectural engineering things and stuff like that. And so those are some of the things that we did, and that sort of first became my interest for math, was just wanting to learn more things about that.
Are you more interested in theoretical aspects or applied aspects?
It's a little bit of both. Most of the work that I do is definitely in theoretical mathematics. It does have applications to applied mathematics, but I mostly study the theory side of things.
You graduated from the University of Georgia. Did you grow up in Georgia? Is that where you attended high school?
Yes. So I attended high school in Columbus, Georgia, and I graduated from there. Oh, years ago, many years ago. But yes, I attended high school in Columbus, Georgia, and then went on to the University of Georgia for undergraduate studies.
And what brought you to ISU?
Yeah, so what brought me to ISU is that in the summer of 2011, I had an opportunity to do a summer research program at Iowa State. And actually, it was at that point when I decided that I wanted to get a PhD in math. Within my first 2 weeks of being there, I remember telling my mentor slash advisor of the program, Dr. Leslie Hockman, I was like, I think I want to go to graduate school and get a PhD. And from there, she sort of fast-tracked, okay, well, you need to take the GRE, you need to do all these things, and I did it that summer. I took the GRE, I started to look at schools that I was potentially interested in going to, and ultimately I came back to Iowa State to get my PhD. So that happened summer 2011, and I started graduate school at Iowa State in August 2012.
So that summer program at ISU inspired you to go on to do graduate work and also provided you with a mentor to help guide that.
Yes.
That's good to know that ISU was able to have that impact. And what was the transition like? Was it difficult to adapt to the cultural or other differences between Georgia and Iowa?
I think that there were definitely some cultural differences, especially being away from home. But in terms of, like, the mathematics, it was always there, right? The mathematics is difficult for many of the students going through the graduate program. For a lot of us, it's more fast-paced. But in terms of, one, I had to get used to the weather, right? That was something. My first year, I was happy, though. It was a mild winter, so that was okay. I did have to get used to just the people around and the things to do, because I think that there were not as many things of interest to me in Ames, Iowa, as there were if I went to Des Moines or something like that. So I had to get used to that because I was used to living in a city where I could find things to do pretty much at every turn.
So the size of Ames versus where you lived in Georgia?
The size, but mostly like the lack of like cultural entertainment.
And you became involved in a group called MOCA, M-O-C-A, Mathematics of Color Alliance. Can you tell us about that group?
Yes, so MOCA was actually started my first year of graduate school at Iowa State. And it's an organization that served as a support group for graduate students mostly, but as well as undergraduate students in math and stats. And it was a way for us to get together to talk about some of the issues we were facing, but also we had during my first 2 years there, we had study potlucks, so that was something that we did. But we also had, like, game nights and things like that. And it was really nice because I think sometimes when there's a lack of diversity in a place, you feel like you don't belong. So having Mocha definitely brought us together.
And was that student-run organization, and did students start it?
So students did not start it. Michael Young actually started. And Michael Young and Leslie Hoglan actually were very integral in starting that. So Michael Young was served as the advisor for Mocha.
And those are two professors in the Department of Mathematics.
Yes.
My understanding is that the Department of Mathematics at ISU is quite successful in attracting and supporting students from underrepresented groups into their graduate program. What do they do that contributes to that?
I think one of the things that was helpful for me was Mocha, my first year, just having that and just being able to talk to someone. So I actually met Michael Young back in 2011 when we were doing research. He was a postdoc student of Leslie Hoglan. And so I met him then. But having the opportunity to be able to connect, and I think that that was something that was important. So the year that I enrolled as a graduate student at Iowa State, there were four African-American females at Iowa State in the math department. And that was a huge difference from the year before. And throughout my time there, there were other people of color and other students of color. And just getting together with those students, it was definitely helpful in helping us to stay. And that's one side of support, having the cultural support and someone who you feel like you can connect with culturally. But also, we should talk about just even the other graduate students. Our graduate program was very social there. There's always something to do. There's always graduate students inviting you to come and do things, as well as the faculty members. I feel like I had a really good connection with my faculty members, especially those who taught my courses, and my advisor, Dr. Martin, that we could talk about things, and we can actually talk about issues that I was facing as a mathematician, that I was facing as an underrepresented minority, or anything.
How important do you think it is for young people like yourself or others who are part of underrepresented groups? How important is it to have role models? Even thinking back to your younger years, did you have role models of people like you who could be successful in mathematics? And was that important?
Yeah, so thinking back to like even middle school and high school, a lot of my math teachers were women. And there were overwhelmingly a majority of those were African American. And so that was very important to see that someone could do that and to also have someone do that. But then in undergraduate, the shift changed. That was the first time I really saw a shift. And so the shift changed. But I will say I did have a very supportive advisor, as well as my abstract algebra professor was very, very supportive of just what I wanted to do and helping to break down some of those barriers about like underrepresented minorities and the imposter syndrome that we sometimes face. It was sort of important to have faculty members to really push and to be confident in the work that you were doing, even when you weren't confident in it.
And the imposter syndrome, meaning having a feeling of that you're not really belong, you shouldn't really belong there?
Yes. I was going to say, I think that is very easy for underrepresented students to have the imposter syndrome when there are other students that look like them and they feel like they're not as outspoken or they can't be as outspoken.
And so it takes a real awareness by departments and programs to recognize that students are grappling with that.
Yes.
Earlier we mentioned, or I mentioned, that you were good at math. That's a common thing that people would say, oh, so-and-so is good at math, but other people may not be. Do you think that mathematics is an ability, or is that a misconception, that some people are just good at it and some people are not?
I say from my own personal experience, I think that there's no such thing as being good at it. I do believe that as long as you apply yourself, you can succeed at anything. And so I think initially when we look at as teachers, the teachers are looking at this and, oh, she's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that because I'm quick, I'm good at it. And I think that a lot of students, we fail to say, because I'm not quick, I'm not good at it. One of the things that this sort of reminds me of is that when I was in, I think, 11th grade, and I was taking pre-calculus, I remember turning in my exams last. And the students were like, she's always turning her exam last, but I consistently had the highest grade. And that was because I wasn't fast at it, but I knew what was happening.
You're right. We do equate that ability to do things fast with being good at something, but it may be a different kind of thoughtfulness that people who do things slowly bring to a subject like mathematics. What do you think schools should do, especially, say, K-12 schools should do to bring more African American students into mathematics?
I think we, one, have to get rid of the idea that math is hard. I can tell you that in some of the math classes that I sat in, the teacher would say, this concept is pretty hard, so therefore this. And I think if we remove the challenge of this concept is hard from the vocabulary, we can actually effectively teach the math. I think also having mathematics that's engaging. I hated worksheets growing up. I'd rather do something where I can use my hands and to really understand. And so having that, but also bringing in people that look like the students. And so overwhelmingly, if you go, so I was raised in predominantly minority or predominantly black elementary school, middle schools, and high schools. But I did have really good math teachers that were African-American, but overwhelmingly in those schools, when you look at the math teachers, they were not of color. And so bringing in people who have careers and who've done things on the STEM level altogether that look like the students, I think will help push the students to do better. And then having that push, because I think that there's a difference here in what we teach our students. Some students are asked, what college are you going to? And some students are asked, what are you doing after high school? And I think that those set two different tones, and those sometimes set pathways for students.
Right, and all those subtle ways that that gets communicated to students, in particularly in elementary and high school, and probably even through college. So now you're in a position of being a professor, and you're teaching some undergraduate courses now? Is that correct?
That is correct.
So what kinds of things did you take from your learning experiences around mathematics that you're trying to do in particular ways for your students that you have now?
Well, one of the things I took away from it is just the idea to be creative and to set up an environment where students can create what they want to talk about. So this semester, I am teaching a discrete math course, and we're learning about proofs. And so I'm creating opportunities for students to come up with their own examples, and then I am helping them to write sentences, like negations of sentences, in such a way that using their own examples. That, to me, as an assistant professor in my first semester, it requires me to be a little bit quick on my feet because I'm not sure what examples the students are going to throw out today, right? But I have to be prepared to be able to use their examples. Group projects, I'm creating group projects in the classroom. Even though it's one of the upper level classrooms, I do believe that group projects will help. So we'll be talking about group projects, and I'm teaching them to learn to write proofs from a stance of being skeptic of whether or not the proof is correct.
Those sound like very different approaches than are commonly used in mathematics classrooms in universities. That sounds like it would actually be fun and interesting for students. What other goals do you have as a professor now, as you start your career? Are there particular goals that you have?
Yes, there are some particular goals. So one of the goals, and I don't know, I'm just moved to Eau Claire, so I'm not exactly sure about the community, but one of the goals is to have more students. We have a good number of female students, or students that identify as being female, in our program. But one was to identify students who identify from other minority groups, to have them to join the math major. And so I think that that starts even at the middle school, high school level. So I'm hoping not this year, maybe not this year, but in the next few years, to reach out to more of the community to understand what's happening there and to bridge the gap, because I do know that there is a lack of students of color presence on campus.
Well, it sounds like you're going to really try to make a difference there, not just for the students you teach, but for the larger community. I think they're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me, Gail.
That was Dr. Shanice Walker, who recently obtained her Ph.D. in mathematics from ISU and was the first African-American to do so.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.